This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
And welcome back to the Fan Evening Show. Jason Mackey here with you on a Thursday night. Joel Nelson producing, moving right along. The start of our third hour together. Show is flying tonight. We're having a great time. Let's go back out to the fan hotline where we find Pirates legend, former closer, Pirates Hall of Famer, Pirates a lot of things. Kent DeCalvi joins us to talk about Dave Parker. Teak, what's up, man? How are you?
All right, Jason. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing fantastic. Thank you so much for doing this. I appreciate it. Dave Parker was he was something else, wasn't he?
He absolutely was. And, you know, as good as he was on the field, he was just as good in the clubhouse. It was, you know, he was the kind of guy that you actually looked forward every day to getting to the clubhouse. So he was entertaining. I mean, he was a funny human being with a quick wit, very similar to Steve Blass in the wit department. And, you know, when he and Phil Garner would get going on, which was a match made in heaven, you know, you're this 6 foot, 5 inch, 300 or 230 pound black guy. And this redneck is 5'10" from Tennessee, and they would push each other's buttons from the time they got in the clubhouse until, you know, they left, and probably, I would imagine, sometimes afterwards. And it was just hilarious, and it was a sideshow in amongst itself, and it was great to be able to spend all that time with Dave, and, you know, not only watch him on the field and the greatness that was there, but being that able to be around him on a daily basis in the clubhouse was, you know, that was special also.
I tell people this all the time, Teak, those that got to see Dave Parker play every day, I am so incredibly jealous. It must have been such a treat to watch somebody so big do so many different things on a baseball field, but you were there. You did get to see that. What made him so unique as a player?
A combination of his size and his abilities. I mean, you know, a guy that big shouldn't be able to run that fast. A guy that, you know, that fast shouldn't be able to hit that hard. You know, a guy that can run fast and hit hard shouldn't be able to throw like he did. You know, it was funny because, you know, yes, Manny Sanguin for about a month was in between Roberto Clemente trying to play right field and not doing a very good job of it, and Dave Parker. Dave Parker took over for Roberto Clemente, and there's really, when you look back on it, there's not a major difference in any part of his game, and the people in Pittsburgh didn't lose any bit of a great right fielder almost from the day that Parker took over as a young kid, you know, playing in Clemente's shadow. The way he was able to play the game, and, you know, how lucky were the Pittsburgh fans and how lucky were the Pittsburgh Pirates to lose a person as great as Roberto Clemente and yet have somebody of the same ilk come in and take his place. And, you know, it never looked like it was difficult to play right field for about 30 years in Pittsburgh. You know, because they were just so good at what they did, and they had all the similar traits. The speed, the arm, the ability to hit, all those things, Dave just kind of picked up right where Clemente left off and continued to play that way and had, helped us have as much success as we had during the decade of the 70s.
Teek, I think that's something that people don't talk about enough with Dave Parker. Like, we talk about the longevity, the physical talents, for 5 years, I think he was, you can make the case he was the best player in baseball. Oh. He certainly has made that case, but it's not easy taking over for somebody like Roberto Clemente, for crying out loud. That's a pretty big shadow, and Dave Parker stepped right in.
Well, and, it's not only the shadow, it's the weight of the shadow. Roberto Clemente was the guy. I mean, he played with Stargell. He played with a bunch of people along the way that were really, really good players. And yet he stood out amongst that group.
Yeah.
And, and doing it in Pittsburgh, where, the focus of Pittsburgh back then was on baseball. This was a baseball town. The Steelers had not, become what the Steelers became. And this was a baseball town, and that was the baseball star in the baseball town. And Dave Parker was able to, just think back. All the great outfielders, Brian Giles and, all the guys that have played the outfield, Jason Bay. None of them came close to being as good as Dave Parker or Roberto Clemente. And yet to do it right behind that, in the shadow of that guy, in a city where the people adored him, and yet you really never heard anything about the fact that, he was any less than one of the best, if not the best, players in the National League.
Teek, I've talked to you about this before, but I think it's awesome that in the 70s, you guys shared Three Rivers Stadium with the Steelers, and there were friendships that developed and all that stuff. But in the middle of all of it was Dave. Like, I think Steelers, not even, like, forget the baseball guys. Like, I think Steelers were impressed by Dave Parker. Like, did he just have, like, a coolness about him? Or, how did you see that relationship unfold between Dave Parker and football players?
Well, it was interesting because, in the month of September, the last month of the season for us and the first month of the season for them, once they came back from St. Vincent's in training camp, we were together in Three River Stadium for a month, 6 weeks, whatever amount of time there was. And during those times, they're playing only on Sundays. We're playing 7 days a week. But during those times, a lot of times they're practicing, in the afternoon or early afternoon. And when they're getting done and coming off the field, we're getting ready and we're going out on the field for batting practice. So, I mean, we literally saw those guys every day. And it was interesting to watch the Steelers when they're coming off. And, we all had relationships with the guys and, we talked and said hi and, they were paying attention to what we were doing. We were paying attention to what they were doing. But just to watch them watch Parker, because he really was a specimen more in the mold of who they were. The big linemen, the guys, the big strong guys, they were part of what Dave Parker was, but he was also like Wim Swan and John Stallworth. He was quick. He was fast. He had Bradshaw's arm. He was a combination of everybody on that football team. And, yes, the rest of us, especially myself, would walk by them and I would go, oh my gosh, look how big they are. They walk by them and goes, oh, they're just like me. And they had the outstanding ability individually and as a group that we had. And, I think each one of us admired the other one, because they were kind of made up the same way we were made up, and we were made up the same way they were. So we could understand what their attitude was about doing their job, and they could understand how well we were doing our job. And, I think there was a mutual admiration society between the two groups as far as what we were doing, how we were doing it, and how consistently we were doing it.
Teek, I can't believe that those Steelers players weren't impressed by your physique. Shame on them for not realizing that.
Well, I think Bradshaw did one day. He said, I was 6'4", and you know, apparently he thought I had good hands. We found out later that it wasn't accurate. And as we're walking off the field, he goes, he yells at me. I turn around and look at him, and he's 40 yards away from me. You know, he's almost down by the end zone, and I'm just getting out by the back of the infield, which is about the 40, 50-yard line. And he yells at me, and he throws a football. And literally, when I went to catch it, it turned my hands out and just drilled right through my hands. That's how hard he could throw a football. I don't know that I could throw a baseball as hard as he threw that football. At least it seemed like it at the time. You know, I could throw 90 mile an hour about, and it seemed like that football was being thrown a lot harder than that. And that's after a whole day of practice.
Yeah.
You know, he's already cooling down and getting ready to go and get a shower. And so, yeah, I think he probably overrated my physique and my abilities at that point in time.
All right. So you talked about Dave Parker and Phil Garner. I agree with you. I love seeing the two of them go at it. You know, Dave Parker, in sort of a camaraderie or kinship or whatever with some of the Steelers players. What are some other favorite Dave Parker stories that you've accumulated over the years?
Well, I think probably my most favorite one, and we always talk about Dave Parker's wit. And Dave had such abilities, physical abilities. He was basically better than almost everybody else that he played against. You know, he could run faster, he could throw harder, he could, you know, hit further, he could do everything better than everybody else. So he had a way of trying to motivate himself. He didn't want to just be better than everybody else. He wanted to be as good as he could possibly be. And to do that, he had to put pressure on himself. You know, he had to put himself in a position where, and because he was as outgoing as he was, and because of the way our clubhouse was, you know, nobody was safe. And Stargell was just as fair game as Matt Alexander, pinch runner was. You know, everybody got on everybody. Well, Dave would make these outlandish statements, and I think probably one of the most popular ones, and we've heard a lot about it just recently with his passing, was, you know, when the leaves turn brown, I'm going to win the batting crown.
Yep.
Batting crown. That's a very famous one that he had. And he started that in 1977. And he won a batting title in 1977. So the next year we go to spring training. And he shows up and he goes, when the leaves turn brown, I'm going to win my second batting title, the batting crown.
Yeah.
And he goes out and wins the second batting crown. So now in 79, we go to spring training again. When the leaves turn brown, I'm going to win my third batting crown. Of course, he didn't in 79. Somebody else, well, I can't even remember who. Did Keith Hernandez win it in 79?
That sounds right. Remember. I'll look it up while you go.
Yeah. MVP was Willie. But anyway, he didn't win the batting crown. So, you know, we win the World Series. And, you know, after the World Series is over, everybody breaks up and he goes home. So everybody doesn't get back together until the first day of spring training. That's the first time all 25 of us are back together again. There's some non-roster guys and stuff in there also. So we go in the first day, and now we have been waiting for 3 years for Dave not to win a batting title. So the 24 of us, we have our first meeting out, a big group meeting out on the field. And, you know, Chuck's getting ready to say whatever he's going to say to the team about, you know, 79, and we got close last year, and, you know, it's going to be our year to do it. And all of a sudden, we had organized that the other 24 of us, well, most of us, you know, everybody was back. A couple of guys left, but most everybody was back. And so before Chuck started the meeting, all 24 of us in harmony went, when the leaves turn brown, Dave Parker lost his batting crown. And Parker, being the quick wit that he was, not hesitating a bit, as if he almost knew it was coming, which he may have, goes, you know, I thought the batting cramps were being a little selfish because that was all about me. So I decided this last year that I was going to help you guys all become world champions. So I didn't worry about the batting crown. I worried about being the world champion. And I made all of you world champions. Place broke up. Because, I mean, even in that situation, he has come up with the perfect comeback in the, you know, the first day of spring training. Who's expecting this? And that was just, you know, that's what he did. But, I mean, he always, everything that he always did it to put pressure on himself. And then it made him have to perform and have to accomplish the goals that he, you know, that he was talking about, because those goals were good for the team.
We're chatting with Kent DeCalvi on the Fan Evening Show, talking about Dave Parker. Teek, did you ever tell him about his stats against you? I would not shut up if I were you. He's 0-9 in his career against you, or he went 0-9 against you.
Well, I did discuss it with him a couple of years ago when I saw
him. Good for you. Good.
Yeah, and I told him what a dummy he was. I mean, he watched me pitch for 10 years with the Pirates. He watched me throw left-handed batters, sinkers away. They would try to pull him, and they hit ground balls to second. And that's exactly what he did 9 times. You know, and all 9 weren't to second base, but he hit little weak ground balls in the infield, maybe a pop-up or something like that.
Yep. He fell right into it.
You watched me for 10 years, and you didn't know that you shouldn't try to pull the sinker away. You know, so, you know, it was one of those deals where, you know, you very seldom did anybody have something that they could drop on Dave that, you know, was good, and especially one of the guys that was on the World Series team, and we accomplished so much together, and we felt so much about each other. There was such a camaraderie there. And to be able to finally come up with something after all these years, and he had been in Cincinnati for a while, and that's when I faced him, when he was with the Reds, when I was at the end of the Pirates, and then my time in Philadelphia. So, you know, I had an opportunity to give it back to him a little bit, and then he still won the battle over the years, because he got more times that he dinged me than I ever dinged him.
Yeah. That's good stuff, man. So I know personally, Teek, I saw when he passed, you know, I just like put my head down, just crap. You know, that was my immediate thing. Like, he should have been in Cooperstown. Curious, one, what your reaction was when you heard the news. And then two, you know, if Dave had the opportunity to deliver a message to people, which he should have had in Cooperstown, you know, what might that message have included, in your opinion?
Well, first of all, you know, my first thought was I lost a friend. I lost a dear friend. That was the first thing. It had nothing to do with baseball. It had everything to do with the friendship that we had developed over the years. So that was my first thought. My next thought was, well, I was sad because of the fact that, yes, indeed, he wasn't going to be able to go to Cooperstown and be inducted. He should have been inducted before he ever got sick. And he was sick for 10 years.
Yep.
But he should have been inducted way back then, when he would have, I mean, at this point, he probably would not have been able to give a speech anyway. But 10 years ago or 12 years ago, he would have been able to give a speech. And I can guarantee you, it would have been one of the funniest speeches that anybody has ever given. I mean, to me, Bob Buford gave the funniest Hall of Fame speech that I ever heard. And Dave's would have had a bunch of stuff in it, because the sharpness of how Dave said things, and the, you know, what kind of set people off that didn't understand him, you know, they took it the wrong way, was, you know, he was talking like he was in the clubhouse and we were all in there, and he was just, you know, everything was fair game. And he just always did that. And, you know, as he got older, when he went to Cincinnati and then to Oakland before he made his last couple stops, you know, he had gotten a lot more mellow in how he handled the public and even the media, for that matter. So, you know, that would have been the version of Dave Parker that would have gave that speech. And I wish I would have had the opportunity to hear it, because it would have been one of those, you know, as short as Maz's was, Parker's would have been long, hilarious, and for those of us who understood the relationship in our clubhouse, it would have meant even more. You know, if he's cracking on somebody, or, and then he would have been cracking on some of us and everything else. But, you know, it was just, it was a shame that he didn't get a chance 10 or 12 years ago to give that speech when he was capable of doing it.
Kent Tekulve, thanks so much, Teak. It's a pleasure. Appreciate your time, man. Have a great rest of your night.
All right, Jason, enjoy the 4th of July tomorrow.
I will. You too. Kent Tekulve.
All right, man.
Kent Tekulve, he's the best. Talking about Dave Parker, so many good thoughts and memories. Dave Parker, a legendary player, and I meant every word of that. I do not have the lens on Dave Parker that some of you listening do. I'm jealous. I wish I could have seen him play all the time. Being on the Pirates beat, it's a unique experience. And one of the things that I learned very early on was how much the old stuff, nostalgia, the history means to people around here. And again, I grew up here. It's not like I was unaware of any of it. But from a reporter, writer standpoint, you cannot do enough of it. And so I loved writing about Dave Parker, getting to know Dave Parker, talking to people about Dave Parker, learning about Dave Parker. It was also my childhood. And I was born in 1983, the first team that I cared about was, you know, one of those early 90s Pirates teams. That's how I fell in love with baseball. It's not like I was watching Dave Parker every day, but I was aware of who Dave Parker was. I think I had somewhat of a unique childhood in that my dad was an obsessive baseball fan, took great pride in educating me about players in our city's history that I should know, former Pirates, Negro Leagues players. You know, I was probably the only kid who was taken to West Field from a very young age and talked to about why this is important and why you should know, and not that I know everything, but my dad loved watching Dave Parker and loved Dave Parker's story. I remember the first time I ever interviewed Dave Parker, it was at PNC Park in 2019. I shifted over to the beat that May, and there was an event, I think it was the 40-year anniversary of the 1979 team. That would track years-wise, but somebody asked Dave how he would fare today if his team played at PNC Park, and he said, we would have capsized some boats. And it was absolutely incredible. I went to a premiere of The Cobra at Twilight, an event at PNC Park that year. MLB Network presented a documentary or put together a documentary on Parker. If you've never seen it, I can't recommend it enough, but got to talk to Dave and his wife, Kelly, at the time. And anytime Parker was around PNC Park, I would certainly make a point to talk to him and interview him and you know, spend any time that I could around him. Just a legendary player, a legendary story, and we lost a good one. And it's a sad story, really, because he should have been in Cooperstown. I understand what Teak is saying about, you know, he thought about his friend. And of course, you can't help but think about a friend. And I wasn't lucky enough to say, you know, Dave Parker was my friend, just because I didn't go through what Teak went through with him. But, you know, as a baseball fan, as somebody who's a fan of, you know, good stories and what people should be allowed to do, it just stinks. You know, Dave Parker should be able to be in Cooperstown talking about the way he feels about going into the Hall of Fame. Yes, we can sit here and say, oh, you know, he knew. You know, Dave got to learn that he was going to be a Hall of Famer. You know what? That's not good enough. The Hall of Fame, Major League Baseball, the BBWA, all the people that contribute to Hall of Fame voting. And one day I'll be one. You have to be in for 10 years. I haven't been in for 10 years. You get a vote. You also bear responsibility. And there's no reason, absolutely no reason, that it should have taken this long for Dave Parker. One of the things that I bristle at when I hear Dave Parker's legacy and why he didn't get into the Hall of Fame, and if anybody cites the drug trials, he did cocaine in the 80s. Guess what? A lot of people did cocaine in the 80s. I hope you're not holding that over him. On ability alone, Dave Parker unquestionably should have been in the Hall of Fame, and he should have been in the Hall of Fame in a way that allowed him to have his day. It's a beautiful setting in Cooperstown. If you've never been, go. It's worth every penny. And he would have had the opportunity in just an awesome, awesome setting that you heard Kent DeKalvy describe to talk about what that honor meant to him, to crack some jokes, to talk about himself. He should have had that opportunity. Now he won't. I don't know what I'm going to do. I was going to go up there to write about Dave Parker. I'm still inclined to go. I don't think it means the story has disappeared. I think the reporting of the story needs to be a little different. But somebody representing Parker will be there. I think we still have a responsibility to go. I hope to go. But it's just sad because he should have been there and he should have been able to articulate what he was thinking. The fan text line is brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Fan Twitter is brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. You can visit them at southhillskia.net. I talked a little bit ago about wanting to get back into some Steelers topics. Omar Khan, the Steelers general manager, has a three-year extension. I think it's time that we kind of talk about his legacy, what he's done, what's good, what's bad, what do we know? What can we learn from Omar Khan? How much pull does he have? Is his best move yet to be made? What is his best move? Whole bunch of ins and outs there. A conversation around Omar Khan. We'll do that when we get back. It's the Fan Evening Show. I'm Jason Mack. You're listening to Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Baseball's number one digital destination is the MLB app. And this app's got game. Like game highlights, live games, fantasy games, and more.
The gem of a game!
This is baseball your way. With stats, scores, breaking news, and daily custom content that hits every time.
A monster shot!
Because here, you choose the teams and pick the players you want to follow.
All year long.
So when they catch it on the field,
what a catch!
You catch it on the MLB app. Download today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
And welcome back to the Fan Evening Show. Jason Mackey here with you until 10:35. Joel Nelson producing behind the glass. Thanks so much for Kent DeKalvy for hopping on to talk a little Dave Parker with me. We'll get to Matt Venzel from the Post-Gazette at 9 o'clock talking some Penguins. I have some Steelers thoughts to get to in the middle there. But a rare treat, an unexpected treat, something I swear this was not planned. I didn't script this. I just saw it happen, so let's go with it. Let's go out to the fan hotline where we find the one and only Chuck in Uniontown. What's up, Chuck? How are you, sir?
First of all, Jason, thank you once again. You know, about Dave Parker, you and Teek are absolutely right. He should have been in there years ago where he would have still been living to see can see himself go in, because if all you're going to do is talk about Parker and the drug trials in the 80s, you don't know the things, the important things, the things you're supposed to know about Dave Parker. That man was a great guy, a great teammate, and a great player. He played hard. He played hard. He gave you everything he had. And it just, what about those two throws in the 79 All-Star game to throw two guys out at the plate in the All-Star game? That's just one. But, I mean, he gave you 100% when he was on the field. And it's just a shame that, that the guy has to die, that he can't see himself go in. But I'll tell you this, Jason, as I leave. The next one that's not in there that should be in there is Al Oliver.
Absolutely agree, Chuck.
Yep. Al Oliver is another one that should have been in there years ago. What bothers me is we can put all these marginal Yankees in the Hall, because all those New York sports writers vote for them all. But you got a strike against you if you played for the Pittsburgh Pirates. Thanks, Jason.
You got it, Chuck. Take care, man. Always a pleasure hearing from Chuck. Could not agree more about Al Oliver. I mean, that. Who knows if that will happen? It should happen. Talking about a play everywhere guy, a guy who won, a guy who hit, who did it for different franchises. I mean, that. Slam dunk. But yeah, the Dave Parker stuff bothers me. And I'm not satiated by the idea that, oh, he knew he was going in. I don't care. He should have. I mean, one, it's not a complicated question. And those of you like Chuck and my dad who saw Dave Parker play a lot more than I did, I mean, that's a very easy thing for you. I'm relying a lot more on numbers, context, who gets in, who does what, does that play with the Hall of Fame? I mean, it's best player in your sport for nearly half a decade. You'd think that'd get you in. Won multiple World Series, physical tools, did it all. Wasn't just a power guy, wasn't just a speed guy, wasn't just a defense guy, did it all. Hit for average. It's a five-tool player. These days, we covet five-tool players. We talk about Connor Griffin, being the next big thing. And good for Connor Griffin. It's not a mark against him. It's just, you want people like that. Dave Parker did that. He won awards. He won World Series. Like, what could you possibly have? What reason could you possibly have to prevent him from being in the Hall of Fame? I don't get it. The Fan Hotline's presented by Sullivan Super Service. Provided trusted plumbing and HVAC service for over 50 years. So before the break, I talked about Omar Khan, Steelers GM, just received a 3-year contract extension. I can't say I'm particularly surprised by it. Warrants it. I think Omar Khan has, by and large, done a very good job since he's taken over. I like it. I like how the Steelers are doing business differently. They're certainly more aggressive in free agency. That sort of staunch, stodgy, conservative way of doing things is out the window with Omar Khan. And good. But the interesting thing with Omar Khan to me is that I think a lot of the evaluation of his tenure is kind of TBD. Like, if you look at his best move, he's made some good moves. Getting a second rounder back for Chase Claypool, very much at the top of the heap. They turned that into Joey Porter Jr. Love it. I talked earlier about Zach Frazier. I think he's going to turn out to be a really, really good second-round pick. Adding Deshaun Elliott, I like that. Extending Deshaun Elliott, I like that. Some of the personnel that they have in here right now, not sure. Aaron Rodgers, is that going to turn out to be a good one? Don't know. DK Metcalf, don't know. I feel pretty good about both of them, to be fair. This is kind of a familiar rabbit hole, but I do think Aaron Rodgers gives them the best opportunity to win in 2025. Aaron Rodgers looked a lot better than I expected him to look. Granted, it was a brief, small sample size in minicamp. But you saw the picture of him throwing with Steelers wide receivers and tight ends in Malibu. I do think he's bought in. I don't know, you know, the sort of the secret stuff or why it took as long as it did. And I don't really care to know that stuff. Do I think Aaron Rodgers can be effective as quarterback of the Steelers? And yes, I think he can. Can he stay healthy? I have a few more concerns with that. I think probably you do as well. But my point here relative to Omar Khan is that I think a lot of the jury is still out on whether he's good or not. Even the move this week that certainly bears mention here, getting Jonnu Smith and Jalen Ramsey effectively for Minkah Fitzpatrick. You know, if you tell me Minkah Fitzpatrick, who was underperforming on a bloated contract, turns into a tight end who caught 88 passes for, what, 884 yards and 8 touchdowns last year, as well as a 3-time first-team All-Pro corner, and they've addressed a position of need, I'm going to sign up for that. I like it a lot. At the same time, how do you balance your corners? How do you find playing time or the proper amount of playing time for Joey Porter Jr., Darius Slay, and Jalen Ramsey? I don't have a magical answer. I'm a columnist talking in front of a microphone. I can say what I think, and what I think would be to experiment with all three of them at safety. Well, probably not all three. I don't know if I want to see Joey Porter Jr. at safety. But I might take a look at Ramsey and Slay. I'd probably give Juan Thornhill an audition. I also wouldn't be against trying to go do something else. I find it interesting. A couple of weeks ago, or even a week ago, before this deal happened, I don't think anybody would have had a problem with the Steelers going out and spending a decent chunk of change on a second wide receiver. Are they potentially doing things differently with this deal? And what I mean by that, you're spending part of your money on Tyler Boyd. He's just a placeholder. I don't know if they're going to spend on Tyler Boyd. What I'm saying is that type of player. And then you go get another safety, a little bit of safety help. I don't know. I'm just throwing it out there, but I'm saying that I can see the logic. If you can improve safety, all of a sudden you've got three really good corners. Maybe you play with one of them in the slot. I don't know. It's a chess piece. Jalen Ramsey can do a lot of different things. He's been highly productive throughout his NFL career. I think Darius Slay still has something. And I think Jonnu Smith can add something too. I found this interesting. This is a sideways thing, but I heard Andrew and Chris talking about this afternoon, and I have kind of a different opinion. Jerry Dulac, my coworker at the Post-Gazette, was on with Rich Eisen, talking about Jonnu Smith being their third tight end. And I think some people are jumping on Jerry's words and sort of, maybe this sounds cruel, but like misinterpreting them a little bit. Like, I don't think when all is said and done, the Steelers are paying Jonnu Smith to be a blocking tight end and get the third fewest snaps on the team. Right? Like, what sense does that make? What sort of motivation would the Steelers have to screw Jonnu Smith to the bench? No, he's a third tight end. They knew Freiermuth was going to play a lot. They knew Darnell Washington was going to play a lot. And so is Jonnu Smith. And if they're smart, they're going to have very specific packages to take advantage of this guy. Darnell Washington is going to be more of an inline blocking type. Freiermuth might be the closest thing to a traditional tight end. And you can use Jonnu Smith in a couple of creative ways. Maybe that becomes an H-back, a fullback, lining him up out wide. You still need an X receiver. I'm not sure Calvin Austin's that guy. But you've got a lot of places to play. And there's enough talent there. And I think that is how I would define Omar Khan's tenure to this point. It's not perfect, but he really does love hunting talent.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBNetwork.com/stream. Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.
And you try to put it together the best you can. Have they done the best job of that so far? No. They won a playoff game. I don't know how you can say they can. Or I don't know how you can say that they have put the talent together in a commensurate way. But there's enough there. I think a big defining move for Omar Khan will be where things go with TJ Watt. And I do think this winds up with a TJ Watt contract extension. Again, I've made my thoughts known. I don't agree with it. I would not pay TJ Watt $40 million a year. I think it's crazy. Chris Muller made this point earlier in the week. And I almost texted Malzie. I didn't want to be a pain, but I thought it was a really good one by him. Where he basically said that the Cleveland Browns doing something should not affect what the Steelers do. The Cleveland Browns, by and large, are a train wreck. They are not the type of franchise that you want to emulate, let alone one up. If you want to do something stupid, Cleveland, you go right ahead, but I'm not going to do something stupid and plus one. And that's kind of what you're looking at. You can pay Myles Garrett whatever you want. That deal does not make sense for TJ Watt. And where it involves Omar Khan is his salary cap experience, financial creativity, whatever, how you structure the deal. Can he thread a needle where, okay, I think the desire from Mike Tomlin, Art Rooney II, Omar himself, even TJ, they want this to end with TJ Watt being a one-helmet guy. Okay, but it needs to be a one-helmet guy that gives them at least some shred of flexibility under the salary cap. This can't all be about the yearly amount of money that TJ Watt makes. That's silly. I guess there are ways to do it. There's going to have to be. They're going to have to get creative. But how this TJ Watt thing ends will define a lot of what we think about Omar Khan. It could define Omar Khan's tenure if Omar trades TJ Watt. I don't know if that move would be popular with fans or not. I also don't think it's likely, but it's obviously going to be a pretty significant input. Does something get done? Okay, I think that's a more likely outcome. Two branches off of that. Does it get done in a way that is hampering to the Steelers' salary cap or the Steelers' books? Maybe. Or can Omar Khan find a way to lessen the sting of a TJ Watt deal, get him what he wants? I don't know exactly what that is. Again, anybody telling you that they do is probably lying. I would imagine it's somewhere around the guaranteed money. Get him taken care of in a deal that does not hamstring the Steelers. Would say a lot about Omar Khan and what we think of him. But most of all, it's to be determined. And a lot will be determined this season by how the Steelers perform, if they're able to end their playoff drought, all of that stuff. Let's go out to Greg in Pittsburgh, wants to talk about Darius Slay. What's up, Greg?
How you doing this evening?
Doing great, man. How about you?
I'm great. That's one of the best picks that Omar Khan brought up. Darius Slay, one of the best defensive backs in the NFL. I don't know how the Eagles let him go after winning the Super Bowl. I guess the Steelers gave him some more money, but that's one of your most outstanding players right there. So you started with a good player there. I think the Steelers' defense was decent before. If the offense wouldn't have kept them on the field all the time, 1, 2, 3 and out, they would have won a lot more games than they would have. We got to see this year, if the Steelers don't keep the defense on the field, they might be going to the Super Bowl if the quarterback is right, you know?
Yeah, I agree with you, Greg,
yeah,
in that,
yeah, the defense was nice, man. Don't just put them down. The defense was nice. They stayed on the field too long. 1, 2, 3 interceptions, all that, you know, fumbles, all that there, they stayed on, especially against that game against Philadelphia. Oh, my God. When what's-his-face fumbled the ball, they kept the ball whole quarter.
Yep, Najee.
Their offense kept the ball. Yeah, Najee Harris fumbled the ball. They kept the ball whole quarter, man.
Yep.
That took the, you know, that killed that defense. That'll kill any defense. So, hey, man, I think we're playing good. And Mr. Omar Khan's running the checkbook right. He ain't playing around.
He's not, man.
Job. He's playing budget. And that's what's up. Have a good day.
All right. Take care, Greg. Yeah, and I mean, I understand what Philadelphia's doing with Darius Slay. I mean, I feel like that's pretty obvious. Cooper DeJean, Quinyon Mitchell. I mean, those are their two corners. They don't need to spend the money on Darius Slay. Darius Slay might want more playing time. I don't think it makes sense for them to do that. You can listen to the Pomp and Joe Show every Wednesday to hear about Starkey's Card of the Week from the Baseball Card Castle in Cranberry. Contests run every Wednesday through Friday at 12 p.m. at the 937thefan.com contesting page. And Fan Weather, it's brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal services. More sunny skies for July 4th with temperatures in the high 80s. For the weekend, temperatures could reach the 90s. One place where we're not seeing these really high, obnoxious temperatures, in the hockey rink. I want to talk about that a little bit and set up Matt Wenzel from the Post-Gazette. We're going to bring Matt on to talk about, well, some of what he's seen so far in development camp, the Penguins' direction in free agency. They haven't done much, clearly. We're not going to get into the ins and outs of some of the guys the Penguins have signed. I'm much more interested in big picture discussion with Matt at this point. I found it interesting, the NHL draft, the Penguins using all of their picks, not maneuvering, you know, not trading their picks in. But, I mean, it was focused on the picks made. Let me put it that way. They're not mortgaging picks into young players. They're not dealing away players on their roster. The only goalie they dealt was Alex Nedeljkovic. Tristan Jarry remains a Pittsburgh Penguin and probably the opening night starter in goal. Erik Karlsson remains on their roster. It's kind of a confusing blueprint, if you think about it. I understand what the Penguins are doing, needing to rely on young kids, make 13 picks. That's more lottery tickets. That ups your chances. They're not all going to pan out, but some of them might. Ben Kindle was their top pick. It's an interesting kid. Whatever, I don't think we're going to move the needle with any talk about individual prospects. Again, nothing wrong with them at all. I also think that the Penguins prioritize size in a unique way. They did sign some stopgap guys, Anthony Mantha, Justin Brazeau, Alexander Alexiev. Alexiev is intriguing to me. Played for the Capitals. It's a 31st overall pick in 2018. I didn't know that until pre-show researching it. Didn't play a lot in the NHL last season. Obviously had some off-ice troubles in D.C. Ended up getting pepper sprayed, I believe, for some public drunkenness. But it's a big boy. 6'4", 229. Signed for the NHL minimum. 1 year, $775,000. It's a left shot. Penguins need the left shot or the left side of their defense fixed pretty sizably. But Anthony Mantha has some size. He's 6'5", 234. Brazeau has some size. He's 6'6", 227. I think Kyle Dubas is telling us something. I think Kyle Dubas is telling us that the Penguins aren't happy with how big they are. They've went out and tried to address that. Again, does that make the Penguins big and physical and a force to be reckoned with next season? No, it doesn't. But it does address something that they have lacked. I can't hate that. But I want to talk to Matt about what we've learned so far with the Penguins, if that has changed his feelings. I know it's changed them for mine. I thought there was a chance they might try to tap the gas pedal. I'm not saying put it down to the floor, go crazy, something like that. Nobody expected that. But it feels like the outer boundary of this kind of keeps going back, keeps going back, keeps going back. So we'll get Matt Wenzel's perspective on that. Short break. Some more Penguins talk coming up on the Fan Evening Show. You're listening to Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.